This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Joyce Goh and Kusu Chuang. Ready to take a look at US markets. Now, the US equities market just ended the third quarter with its best performance since 2013, which has led investors to bet that it could end 2018 strong. But the question is, will it? So we have on the line with us Kingsley Jones, on hand to answer this delicious conundrum. Kingsley is the founder and chief investment officer of Jevons Global in Sydney. Kingsley, good morning. It's always a pleasure to have you on with us. Now, what do you think? Do you think the US market will end the fourth quarter just as well as it did the third?
I think probably it will, but it may come in different sectors. I mean, the opportunities that we see are mainly in the US industrials outside of tech. We think tech will do well, but maybe not as well as it did previously. This stage of the economic cycle, you typically see cyclical firms see higher sales and better capacity utilization, which expands their profit margins. So a key sector to watch in the USA now is engineering and construction, we feel. There will be a CapEx cycle coming. And firms like KBR, Fluor, and Jacobs Engineering, which do a lot of heavy construction in the oil industry, roads and other things, we think that they may have a good purple patch ahead. We're also watching aerospace and defense with stocks like Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Northrop, and others. This group has been showing improving margins, good sales on order books and also robust margins. It's been a great cycle for them so far, but we think that this may well be a prolonged defense upgrade period.
Kingsley, what are the expectations for the market moving forward, you know, with the prospects of midterm elections coming up as well as another expected rate increase?
Well, the Fed talk is really suggesting a couple more rate rises in 2019 and a cash rate headed for above 3%. That's probably reasonable because the U.S. economy is very robust, particularly in terms of unemployment, and there's still not a high levels of inflation. The PCE, the preferred indicator of inflation, is still only around 2%. Of course, there's plenty of bears around calling into this cycle, but we just don't think that the capital renewal that's common in a cycle has come through. Trade war rhetoric has probably put a damper on early plans to invest, and we did see a little bit of a slowdown in CapEx in the last quarter. But the best sign of a still robust global economy is $80 US oil. So in our view, investors have probably forgotten, particularly in the US, how hard it is to kill a robust economy. We think a further surge is possible in the US market, and we may well actually see Europe start to pick up once the Brexit troubles abate in the first quarter of next year.
Kingsley, as you say, $80 per barrel oil. What does that mean for the US economy, being one of the world's biggest producers right now from a shale viewpoint?
Look, it's certainly good for the energy patch. I think that gasoline prices may drift higher, but there's still a bit of a glut in the U.S. market in terms of getting that oil out. So conditions are a little different globally than they are in the U.S., and at this stage we haven't seen enough pressure on the consumer through high gasoline prices for it to pose much of a threat to the U.S. expansion, we feel.
Right. So, Kingsley, you talked about the U.S. economy looking quite rosy. Europe could pick up after Brexit. They sort Brexit out. What about in this part of the world, if you look at emerging market Asia? What's your expectations for how the performance will be in this part of the world?
Well, I think, particularly emerging Asia is probably going to remain a little soft. The firmer markets that we see in emerging market complex are obviously those with strong oil or commodities trade balances. So there are some of the Latin American countries outside of the trouble spots of Argentina and, to a lesser extent, Brazil. Countries like Mexico are now back on track after concluding their deal with NAFTA, with the U.S., pardon me, on the upgrade to the NAFTA trade arrangements. And elsewhere in Latin America, countries like Colombia and Chile are doing quite well. Colombia because of oil and Chile because of copper. So, look, I think that's okay. The real risks here are within places like India, where high oil prices do provide quite a drag on finances within that country because of their high import ratio. And also, obviously, in China because of trade tensions, which puts a bit of a dampener on the whole Asian region because of the complex nature of the supply chains that go backwards and forwards between China and other nations. So, look, it's a bit of a mixed bag. As I said, I mean, we like financials in those countries that are doing well, like Mexico and Colombia, and oil producers all around the world, including in China.
So, Christy, what can a country like Malaysia do, having seen already central banks in Indonesia and the Philippines having already raised rates to tame inflation over there? We are just about net exporters, but just marginally. What can Malaysia do?
Well, the fact that Malaysia is pretty neutral on that oil factor means that I think that the positives for Malaysia are likely to come with this period where there's an adjustment following the change of government to sort out some of the issues that had impeded that economy, at least in the eyes of investors, to do with corruption and other matters. So, look, there's encouraging signs that there's progress being made there. On the interest rate front, because that trade balance is pretty firm, I actually think that things will improve for Malaysia going forward, particularly if we see a pickup in the agricultural export sector through better farm prices. And that, I think, is going to help places like Malaysia and possibly also Thailand and Vietnam. So, look, there's some interesting factors on the horizon. The really big one for us is that in the past, countries like Malaysia and also to a lesser extent Indonesia have had quite proactive policies of engaging with foreign capital to try to build up different sectors, not always with great success, but in the past there's been a definite effort to do that. Now that China has a need perhaps to try to find ways around US tariffs, we think a reorganization of supply chains will happen. So whereas in the past, you know, you used to see goods go directly from China to the US, now that there's these extensive tariffs, some of those goods may find a different way through third countries. And I think there will be a lot of interest in the next year in how to restructure supply chains. And Malaysia, if they negotiate well, could be a very strong beneficiary of that trend, we feel.
Kingsley, given all that you've said, what's your outlook for emerging market currencies like the ringgit?
Well, look, I think that it really is driven by the combination of the trade balance and the funding balance, current account. And Malaysia's not too bad there. I mean, there was a period in the past where, there was some pressure on the ringgit. We can all remember those days. I think it's probably going to be steady. The real risks to currencies have been in places like India, as I mentioned, with a significant depreciation of the rupiah. And also in places like, as we've seen in Turkey, to some extent Russia, although that now seems to be turning around. So I think it'll probably be pretty steady. Indonesia is probably the bigger concern for us on the emerging market currencies front within that region.
Kingsley, thank you so much for sharing your insights. Great insights there, and always a pleasure speaking with you. That was Kingsley Jones, Founder and Chief Investment Officer of Jevons Global. Now, after this, we're going to take a look at the slew of leadership changes that were announced over the weekend. More on that next. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.